Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I am your host once again. I know you guys have missed me hosting. I've missed being in the seat. So I'm Teema at Teams_GH on TikTok and on Twitter. I'm joined by
Philippa Akko on X.
And Lauren at Lauren Coys on all platforms.
Amazing. A very small but intimate discussion this week.
Yeah, we said intimate last week, but this is really intimate.
This is
we're
really
on bare bones in this.
Yeah. But all three of us support the London clubs. Only one London club this week was victorious.
I'm pretty sure Arsenal won.
Yeah.
Arsenal won their game.
When you move from South London to North London, how can I respect your establishment?
They're still a London club.
Actually. I did say that I was going to respect them now because they did me a favour. I can no longer talk about the dog. I can't talk about the dog because I basically begged Arsenal women to do us a favour against Man City. So said, so done. So I said that I wouldn't talk about how irrelevant they are, and I also wouldn't talk about the dog anymore.
This feels kind of pointed because you're kind of doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. No, but me? I have to address why in the future I can't talk about the dog.
Okay, cool.
Maybe I hope the dog lives a long, prosperous life without being atted by you for the foreseeable.
Let's see how long this lasts, because if they don't win that league, then boy. If they don't win that league, I don't know if I can.
Maybe you should hold your mouth until the Chelsea women.
They need to do their job. They need to actually... like pull themselves together. I know this is not a women's episode, but it is a bit disappointing to see how they basically capitulated the last couple of months. Like semi-final, lost in the final, lost to Liverpool.
The farewell tours for Emma Hayes and Klopp haven't gone to plan.
Except for today though, Lauren.
Well, they didn't win. They're not going to win anything. They're still third.
Yeah, true.
But yeah.
Good but let's talk about what happened on Thursday.
Woo!
Lauren, do you want to start or shall I start?
Please, take the floor.
I can't believe how bad Spurs were. Like, I'm being for real. And, you know, I did want to do the knee bounce, but my co-singer, Anita's not here, so we can't talk about how Tottenham get battered everywhere they go. But they do. But yeah, that performance on Thursday was quite interesting from you guys, because considering the weekend against Arsenal, I know you lost. However, you did play well. Against Chelsea, the performance was lacking.
Do you think they played well against Arsenal?
I think so, basically.
We were better in that game.
I think they were better than they were. Exactly. I would say they were better last week than they were on Thursday, for sure. But I don't think it was well. I think they picked themselves up in that second half to score goals to ease out the scoreline. But I don't think they played well last week. And I think it's a ongoing thing. But Lauren, I will let you take the floor. Sorry.
You were surprised. I wasn't. You asked us for predictions in the group chat before the game. Mm-hmm. And I said, we've won once at Stamford Bridge in 30 years. It doesn't matter about form. It doesn't matter about the gap between the sides. We never turn up. So to see us not turn up, I was like, I've been here before. many times over the years. And it was entirely predictable. We were poor in possession. Yeah, we weren't good. And then, shock horror, more set-piece goals conceded.
Yeah.
So
that Chalobah goal, that Chalobah header was unbelievable though.
But why, but I was looking at that thinking, why would we set up a free kick and then the two centre-halves, like the two people in the Chelsea team that are going to attack the ball, the two who are unmarked?
I can see
better organisation at Hackney Marshes.
But this is the problem. This is what I just don't understand. I have not played in years, right? So I can't sit here and say that I know the technical abilities of the game as someone who sits on the couch and watches it week in, week out. But why is it that I can clock things with set pieces and big-time Premier League coaches can't? Do you know what I mean? Do you ever sit there and be like, why do you not sit? Why have you gone and stood as a tall person next to the shortest person when there's a big fuck-off massive CB over there? Do you see what I mean?
Do you know what you said?
But they do what they're told to do, because you see them like on the sideline when a sub comes on, they get the booklet out and you'll see that like they're stood where they're told to stand. I don't even think, and I think we're in this pattern now with footballers where it's so robotic, they don't override the tactical instructions. I think they've been set up to defend like that. The only thing I don't excuse the players for is that you have to win the first contact. When you at some point, like, we're zonal, so that means you're going to attack the space. You have the freedom to attack the space and you need to win the first contact, and we're not doing that often enough. But in terms of why Mickey van der Ven and Romero are not marking the centre backs, that is whoever is responsible at Spurs for attacking, for defensive set pieces, because they're setting them up like that.
Do you think so? What used to roll me up as a Chelsea fan when I used to see in N'Golo Kante, someone who I can look in the eye, marking.
No, you can't. Shout out, Tima. You cannot look him in. I mean, I know what you're saying, listen, but you still can't look him in the eye. Don't do that.
Look him in the eye, and he is marking some 6'3" guy. I used to be like, I know that someone somewhere has made this decision, but surely this decision looks insane. That's one thing. So to answer your thing, the booklet theme is mad to me, because I will forget 30 seconds after going on to that.
Yeah, but Tima, but you
they're
are also,
drilled.
But they're drilled, and you're also trained in things that you do in your 9-to-5 that these footballers couldn't dream. Yeah, yes. If anybody's watching, yes, you are. That they couldn't even dream of doing. It's just what you do. They've been doing this week in, week out for years. They've been told to follow certain formations, like different shapes. They know that they know that. Like, it's fine. Like, but you're saying that you can't remember after.
But some
seconds.
Of them, I really truly question whether they have the intelligence to remember where to stand on the pitch.
And that's another
question. But then you need leadership. Like, then at some point, you also then need, I think there's multiple things, you then also need leaders to be like, you're stood in the wrong place, or look, you lost your, you should have got that last one. Switch on. And I don't know. I think from a Spurs perspective, we're just lacking it. I think out of our entire squad, probably only Romero, Richarlison and Dragosin are aggressive enough to attack that first header.
Dragosin,
and he's on the bench, so we only usually have two.
Have you signed him?
Yes, we signed him in January.
So he's not on loan?
No, we signed him. Well, I think when I have to watch Emerson Royale play the inverted left wing back role, I wonder why we can't shift Van de Ven out to the left and play Dragosin as well. But equally, I'm not like, our centre-back pairing at the moment is non-negotiable. So he's come here. Well, he could have, he could be playing a Champions League final if he decided to go to Bayern. But, we need European football, I think, to up the number of games to rotate him in. However, he would solve some of our problems, I think, because he doesn't look like a guy that's going to shirk that responsibility and he's going to let somebody else beat him to the header. But, Ange is sticking by Emerson Royale.
So in terms of Ange, actually, what did you make of his antics on the sideline? Because obviously the little mate kind of acts kind of really, the mask slips and you could really see.
Let the Celtic fans tell you. It's not that the mask slip.
I don't know no Celtic fans.
I'm just saying like online, isn't it? This is how he is.
I think in the press, he can be very, like, I feel like most managers will tell you something different when you ask them a question to how they are behind the scenes. And I think Ange, there is actually an exact clip of when he was at Celtic where he lost his shit and he literally shouted the same thing, pass the ball forwards. And I think he got frustrated because we were terrible. I think we showed more intent against Arsenal than we did coming to the Bridge. Like nobody was up for it. We weren't passing the ball forward. So I think, you know, you can concede goals, but there's no excuse for not doing, like, what is the identity of the team and the style of football that we're trying to play? There's no excuse for not doing that. So I think, you know, he lost his shit and he should have done, because that is not how the tactical instruction, and we didn't play how they how he would have set us out to play. So,
and what did you make of the midfield?
What was the midfield? Kulusevski.
Who was it?
I need assistance because that game was
Kulusevski. It was, so there was no Saar. There was no.
Was it Bentancur? Maybe Bissouma.
I was going to say Bissouma.
Did Bissouma start?
I'm pretty.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Because then did Højbjerg come on? I think Højbjerg then came on.
Yes.
Yeah. Madison got dropped, which I think was the big headline news of the midfield.
As he should have been.
Yeah, he hasn't been playing very, very well. Like he had a poor game in the North London derby. So, yeah, I think our midfield isn't clicking.
Can I ask a question? What's Ange's problem with Lo Celso?
Oh no, he did start Saar.
So it was what was
Bissouma,
it?
Bissouma, Saar. Kulusevski,
and Kulusevski.
Johnson.
Yeah, what's his problem with Lo Celso?
I don't know. And I look at, and I feel sorry. I'm starting to feel sorry for Gio because I feel like he's coming off the bench and there are good cameos. And it's like, for me, I don't know, like today, like against Liverpool, I know we'll discuss it in more detail, but if you're saying, okay.
By the way, Chelsea women are winning 7-0.
It's 7
against
now.
Whom?
Bristol City.
Oh, poor Bristol
City.
Come on,
Emma.
No, I can't celebrate that because Bristol City are like.
Sorry.
One of very
I'm
few
happy
because
their game in hand is against us. Mm. So if they can stat pad today, I hope they score 10. So they don't need to stat pad against us.
My thing is, I've got a soft spot for Bristol City just because of the fact that they're not a Premier League-backed WSL side.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But someone's got to go in. It would have been us if it wasn't them. So, sayonara,
yeah, they're
Bristol.
Gone.
Sorry.
It's not even really about them going. Is I just need to shorten. Does that mean that we're level?
You're now level on goal difference.
Oh, one more. Come on.
Wait, I think they needed 8, no?
No, they're level on goal difference now, and it's only the 77th minute that goal went in.
Oh,
so
no.
There's still time to get at least 3 more. Poor
Sorry,
Bissell. Hopefully it doesn't go to double figures. That's embarrassing.
No.
I hope it does. I need a sort of advantage. Someone's got to be the whipping girls, women. Sorry. We are where we are. Sorry, continue.
I just think our midfield isn't, whatever combination he seems to be playing at the moment, it's just not quite working. And I think Lo Celso has shown and had good cameos. So, like, I don't understand. If you're saying that, like, if he's saying that Madison isn't good enough to start at the moment, which I agree with, he's in bad form, and you're not going to play Kulusevski in the 10, then you need to play Lo Celso. And
I'm
just a bit like,
has he been good? Recently?
I think we
have a number of players who are out of form and he is one of them.
I'm looking at him, I'm just a bit like...
Yeah, there was an argument this afternoon by another Spurs fan who was like, maybe he needs to shift. Pardon, my household. Maybe he needs to shift into the middle.
Yeah, I think he's better in the middle because all he's ever going to do is cut inside, and I think Ange's system needs direct, tricky wingers.
Mm-hmm.
And Kulusevski just isn't that. But I think the problem that we have with Spurs is that the last time that we actually had a manager that finished a full season was in 2019 under Poch. We've had 5 years of changing the manager and now we've got a mismatch of players. Like, Kulusevski wasn't brought in to play this football.
No, 100%. Yeah. And I say this all the time. Like, when I look at your squad, I judge it because, lol, it's Spurs and I love to judge Spurs. But at the same time, I can't really, because these are all different players bought for different systems, all trying to make this now, what, third, fourth system work.
Mm.
So, I don't feel bad, but it's just sort of like...
We need an overhaul. We've got to cull this squad and we've got to... And I think for me, it's just like... Obviously, it's not like it pisses me off. You don't want to lose the derby. You don't want to go to Anfield and get smacked. But at the same time, it's kind of like myself as a fan, I have to hold my nerve here.
Yeah.
And I think we have to commit to a manager and to a project, and we have to commit to building a squad in his image. He doesn't have that right now.
Is he going to have it?
I think we have. Like, there's no, we cannot sack the manager again.
No. But it's not really about sacking the manager.
Talking about your personnel.
I'm talking about who has the purse strings.
Mm.
Because we know one thing about Daniel Levy. He doesn't like to spend money.
I think the problem is that we have spent money. Like, we're not an £100 million per player club. We never have and we never will be. But like, we went and wasted £60 million on Ndombele. We've gone and spent £60 million on Richarlison. So we can spend money. My biggest issue is that we've had the recruitment has been poor in over those 5 years. We've improved, I would say, within the last 12 months. But my biggest issue as well going into the summer is the sheer number of players we need to sell. Yeah. We are a terrible selling club. We've got how many players out on loan currently?
Would you like us to help you?
Who would you have?
As in, like, we can help you sell to Saudi. Since that's where basically most of our players went last season.
But it's kind of like, you know, somebody like Ndombele, we can't shift them.
He's only got one more year left on his contract.
Yeah.
Right?
But like, Joe Rodon is still a player. Tanganga is still a Spurs player.
Joe Rodon is still on your book.
Tanganga is still on your books. Tanganga, I understand. Huh? I do, because the reason I understand is because academy kid, homegrown, people are less likely to want to get rid so quickly. And I think if he hadn't got injured...
When was the last time he was in the lineup?
First of all, let me finish. Sorry. If he hadn't got if he hadn't got injured this season, I think he probably would have had a good loan spell, enough for him to be bought. But because...
He's playing well at Millwall, to be fair. Like,
he went to
Millwall. He's at Millwall.
He's at Millwall.
On loan at the moment. Because the first half of his loan, he went to Germany. He didn't play. But he's actually playing well at Millwall. This is my point. It's like, we've got to get rid of all of those players who are not registered in the squad. And then we have to get rid of probably at least 7 to 10 of the ones that are registered in the squad. So we will spend the money and we will bring...
7 to 10?
Yeah. Brian Hill is still in the squad.
Oh, Brian.
We were like at Stamford Bridge trying to get a goal and we brought on Brian Hill, who looks like he would fall down in one gust of wind.
Oh, every time he gets on, I always go, Brian!
He looks like Ringo Starr back in the day.
Yeah, I see it. I do.
It's the hair, man. It's quite interesting. So I spent some time this week, obviously in preparation of hosting, going back and watching the archive tapes of Gold Diggers, and it's a very different feel around Spurs from the beginning of the season to here. So in one of the previous episodes, for example, Anita was pressing hard for you to announce that Spurs were part of the title race, and you resisted. I don't know how you resisted that press, because that it went on for about 20 minutes.
The Gengen press.
And then also Shai would love this, looking back at the team of the season of that time.
Yeah, after the first 10 games when we were the top of the league.
Look, listen.
Why are we still dying on this hill?
Land the plane, please. Like, I literally put the signal out and you guys are going mad. So I suppose the question I'm trying to pose in terms of living that up, have the wheels come off of Spurs, or actually was the early part of the season...
It was overperformance.
Yeah.
One of the things I also said in the early episodes is that I saw enough at the beginning of the season to buy into this vision and to buy into Ange. And I actually said in those early episodes, it's not going to be easy. If we stray too far away from our first 11, we're going to get slapped in some games because we don't have the squad. We have a good first 11 and that's it. But I will commit to the project because I've seen enough. I've seen a style of football that I like watching, and I see a style of football that can be successful. Like, even today, the Anfield game, when we stepped it up and actually we had the right combination of players on the pitch, we can score goals. We need to, but I look and think, there's no point getting rid of a manager or because I'm sick and tired.
Who's
of
asking to get
the
rid
Spurs
of
the Spurs fan base? There's a big section of them now calling for Ange's head.
Big sections.
They want to sack him already.
Who are like, he's not the guy. And I am consistently, do you know how hard it is to sit with my spirit to defend you, man, and tell you, man, to stick with a manager when it's in my best interest that you get rid of him. Mm. It's mad. But yeah.
Is that really a thing?
That's a thing.
It's really a thing. People have already... I just don't really know, as a fan base, what we want. Like, should we be any higher than fifth? No.
I think it's like, obviously, Spurs in the mud is something that, like, really fuels my life and allows me to get out of bed in the morning. Spurs fans crying, obviously, is like, you know, water that quenches my thirst. However, you lot, let's be honest, and again, I'm looking at the archive tapes because I needed to remind myself of the time when you guys were happy. As you rightly pointed out back then, no one predicted that Spurs would finish in the top four.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, like, if things had gone differently, potentially that race could have been a lot tighter, particularly with Aston Villa losing today. However, if someone said at the beginning of the season to Spurs fans, look, you two games left, you're going to be, what, 6 points, 7 points off fourth, but it looks like you're going to get Europa League football, and you would have played some of the best football this season, a lot of Spurs fans would have taken it.
No, absolutely. I think that we've got two problems. We've got the problem of, because we overperformed, you're constantly looking at the team thinking, but you've played much better than this season. And I think it's just the impact of Arsenal being there and knowing that they're so close to winning a league. That's just genuinely. Yeah, I think if Arsenal were back in eighth where they were a few seasons ago, people wouldn't be batting an eyelid. That's just how our fan base works. Like, it's that pressure of, oh, what if them not win the league? But I just feel like, for me, it's just like, it's frustrating. Like, when you're in the game and in the moment, it's hard to have patience because you're like, look at you lot, you're embarrassing me. I've got messages in the group chat. I'm having to mute everybody. And like, you're pissing me off.
I was well behaved that day, can I just say?
Yeah, well, because...
I didn't bother to mute today.
I think it's interesting.
I think it's an interesting. No, and do you know what? It's funny because at the beginning of the season, before the start of the season, I said Spurs will be fifth, but it'll be really tight between them and fourth.
Pat yourself on the back.
No, because I had you, man, actually in the top four. So leave me alone. Clearly, I was wrong. Okay, so
the sun was shining. That
no, night. But I feel like. I just feel like because it did look hopeful. And again, we always have, I said this today as well. I have to look at it. You lot finished eighth.
With Harry Kane. 30 goals.
You're finishing fifth or fourth, but probably fifth.
Let's be honest. We're not catching Villa.
No. Yeah, no.
Can I catch you?
But for me, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to fall down and die if we finish fifth instead of sixth?
But then you've got Europa League. If you have a Europa League run next year, and let's say you lot won it, then... I'm saying if they won the Europa League next season.
I mean, the Europa League next season would be interesting because no one can drop down from the Champions League.
These are all hypotheticals. 2008, that's all I've got to say. Listen, these are all hypotheticals. I'm just saying, you have to look at it. It's an improvement and it's something to build on. Yeah. I understand that you lot are disappointed because I think if you'd been losing but your performances had been better, I don't think the fan base would have this much head loss. I think it's just because... You looked terrible. Like, Thursday was bad.
Yeah, it was.
So,
also get back to back. Like, your two biggest rivals.
Yeah, you need to turn up. Like I've always said, back to back.
I would lose my head as well.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, like, there are non-negotiable things when you're going into a derby. I need to look at you and I need to see that you're playing for the shirt. I wasn't looking at many players on Thursday thinking they were playing for the shirt. So, that is my biggest issue. It's not losing. It's the way you go about it, especially in a derby game. I cannot sit here and hear you tell me, oh, we're going to bounce back. It's unacceptable. Show me on the pitch that it was unacceptable, and we're not doing that. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, fifth place after losing Harry Kane, we didn't really replace him. Okay, maybe it's Europa League.
Really, you didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. Like, and I just look and think, cool, because as a Spurs fan base, we cannot keep turning the top four into our trophy and the hill that we must die on. Because we're Newcastle, we're United. Two teams that overperformed last season and got themselves into the Champions League, they didn't come out of their group. So sometimes, actually, I'm in my head, like, when I can think rationally, let's not run before we can walk. Maybe a season in Europa League will allow us to keep rebuilding the squad, but also rotate. Because when I think about Mickey van der Ven's hamstring, and maybe him having to play Wednesday, Saturday.
I can't speak about his hamstring.
We've had a number of muscular injuries this season. So actually, like, players trying to adapt to Ange's way of training. I look and think, maybe the Champions League this season, and if we qualified, it's not necessarily going to help us. Like, I look at Villa and think, oh, if it's not us, it's probably going to be Villa.
Mm.
If Villa do not actually improve their squad and make serious investments, they're going to end up like Newcastle next season.
Hope Tyrone Mings is back.
Oh, I forgot about that, man. But one thing I do want to say is Nicholas Jackson. Do you think certain Spurs players still have nightmares about him?
No.
4 goals in 2 games against your club.
I don't think they care. In all, for like he was stood in front of the goal, and he reacted quickest. Kudos to him. Like, but I don't know.
Okay.
Like, they should have nightmares about the way that they're defending set pieces, not necessarily the goal scorers. That's my opinion. But yeah.
So that was Spurs Chelsea. Chelsea West Ham. You got battered today. Speak to me. Pip.
Okay.
Where did it all go wrong? What is going on at West Ham?
Okay. All right. Let's get comfortable because I'm about to talk ad nauseum for a very long time, right?
A long time.
Because
let's break this down into sections.
We can easily break it down into sections. I want to go back to the 7th of July, 2023, when West Ham...
Sorry.
Don't touch the mics. When West Ham beat Fiorentina and won Europa Conference League.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, one of the best nights of my life. And at that point, David Moyes should have looked at Mr. Sullivan, been like, this is fantastic. Let me collect my package and go. Let's rebuild this team. Go into the 2023-2024 season with a new manager, a little bit more personnel, and push on forward with the money that we would have gotten from Declan. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't want to do that, couldn't be bothered. And we started this season and we overperformed the first half of this season.
Mm-hmm.
We did very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. For me, the moment I realised, do you know what? This isn't sustainable. Or I knew it a long time beforehand, but when I really clocked it was when we went to the Emirates and we beat Arsenal during the Christmas period. And it was a jammy win. And I was like, we're in trouble here because we don't look good. We've won, but we don't look good.
I would have enjoyed it at the time.
It was great. It was a 2-1 win. And we'd obviously already beat them at our place for the League Cup. So like we felt really good about it. But I was like, we don't look good. We actually don't look good. We've won this game, but it doesn't look good. There are several people who are lagging and we're at Christmas and it's very awkward. New Year comes, Kudus goes off to AFCON. Piquetta gets himself injured. Well, I shouldn't say that he gets himself. He was injured and we're now forcing ourselves to use underutilised players in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Our bench is not good. So these underutilised players are not coping well. And on the fact that Kerrer goes out on loan, Benrahma goes out on loan, we sell... Oh God, why can't I remember his name? I can see his face.
Fornals,
sorry. Fornals. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. And we sell Fornals. These are 3 people who were rotational players in our side during the Europa League and during Premier League games in that first half of the season. All 3 of them wanted to play more football, completely understand. But it was like...
You can't get rid of all 3.
You cannot get rid of all 3.
At the same time.
In the meanwhile, in terms of replacing them, we don't replace Kerrer at the back. We...
Tilo
Kerrer.
Yeah. Come from PSG, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. German guy. I like him, but he works better in a back 3, which is what we tried to do at the beginning of last season with Agüero, and it didn't work. So we had to revert back to the back 4 and he wasn't utilised properly. So that's where that went wrong. We tried to sign Jota from whatever Saudi club and realised that there was a mad
sorry,
tax
for a second, the first Jota I thought
yeah,
was
yeah, 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 yeah,
like,
yeah, no.
I don't remember this. You never got caught in the chat.
Just from inside the club.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't registered for them, was it? Yeah, we were interested in him because he played at the And as well.
Big tax implications there. And then we signed Calvin Phillips. So, exactly.
Yeah.
He's injured.
Yeah. So, you know.
You guys are not signing him, are you?
No, he's going back to Manchester.
No, he's going back to Manchester and they're listening to offers for him. So it's a thing of you've let three serious squad members go. You haven't replaced them. You replace one midfielder with a midfielder who's not really played. We have seen that work before, but Calvin Phillips is not Jesse Lingard, so it didn't work. And unfortunately, he wasn't afforded, like, you can't be afforded time to bed yourself in. It's the business end of the season. We need you to start with, you know, with the ground running, and it didn't work. David Moyes has one way of playing, and David Moyes himself has admitted that he likes a small squad. But you cannot have a small squad in this era of the Premier League when you're also playing in Europe.
That Thursday, Sunday will kill you.
Exactly. And let's call a thing. Last season, we didn't cope well. We were in a relegation battle up until about April, okay? So it's like you have to expand your squad. And not only expand your squad, you have to rotate your squad so that the players, you can trust them to formulate what you've done on the training pitch, on the actual pitch. Because you're not bringing these players on because you do not trust them. What is the point of having lip service for Danny Ings for 10 minutes? Play him. You've bought him.
But would you not, is the argument not also that, so you're currently eighth, right?
No, we're currently ninth.
Would you not say that that's still a decent-ish position?
Here's my thing. If you look at the grand scheme of things, yes, it's a decent-ish position. But you also have to look at your progression of the last 5-6 years. And we seem to be building upon ourselves these last few years, apart from last season where we didn't finish great in the league, but we managed to get ourselves a trophy, right? You're meant to improve. And if you think, look at the way that we've actually played, forget the league position, but the way that we've played, you cannot say that you're happy. We've lost 5-0 to you. We lost 5-2 to Palace. We lost 5-1 to
Spurs
Liverpool.
Spurs won't come up in the list of fixtures.
We lost 6-0 to Arsenal. We lost 5-1 or 5-0 to Fulham. We have had a countless amount of terrible results this season. And every time I watch West Ham, you'll always hear a commentator be like, oh, you know, the West Ham fans, they seem like they're unhappy, but like, you know, they're doing well, you know, your previous yo-yo club, all of this. And then someone else will say, oh, West Ham don't seem to be playing, you know, the way that David Moyes side does. No, if you actually watch our games, we have been playing this way for a very long time and it's not good. Mm. And I'm not here to sit and be like, I think, like, if you sit here and tell me who should we be above in the league, I'm not sitting here and saying that. I'm just saying that they're not playing well. They are not playing well. Today, they did not play well. They've all got their eyes on the beach, thinking about the 2 weeks they're going to have to rest before they have to go to their various European clubs for Euro 2024.
Mm.
It's not good enough. But for me, I look at it and it's like, it's not just David Moyes, it's bigger than him as well. It's David Sullivan as well. It's the whole atmosphere at the club, is they're just happy to coast. And that's not good enough. And again, you know, we're laughing and joking about this whole managerial thing. I think it's a real discredit to David Moyes, as frustrated as I am, to have this will he, won't he, stay or go thing crack on into this stage of the season. Because the fact, they haven't fully announced that he's going. I understand he is going.
Yeah, but you're interviewing people, like you're flying people over for interview before announcing
that he's leaving. Let me get there. Because it's fact of the matter is, like him or lump him, whatever these West Ham fans think, he brought us our first trophy in a very, very long time. The least the club can do is tell him that he's going and give him a proper send-off at the Luton game, thank him and be good about it. Listen, we don't have to know everything. Like, this whole era of knowing everything that's happening with your club before it happens is ruining stuff, because they could be interviewing managers from Timbuktu, but we don't need to know about that. But the fact that the Amorim stuff happened, first of all, I think, if we do get Amorim, I'm going to side-eye him the entire time he's there, because doing that in the middle of your season when your club is still in a title race is like, it's tacky. Yeah, it's declassé.
He did apologize, but at the same time, if you're a manager that's in post and you've got something to play for, you shouldn't be flying in the middle of the season to go take interviews.
No. And then there's all of this stuff. Is it going to be
Lopetegui
or however you pronounce it.
Might have to go to Bayern now.
I'm glad.
So they have to move on to next manager. I saw he's linked to Bayern now because...
Yeah.
Bayern...
Plan... What are we on? Plan G right now?
Might have to go back to AB yeah. when it comes to the planning because Bayern are...
But it's just... I just feel like everything has been handled so badly and I really in my heart of hearts, I understand what everyone was saying last season when they were like, you know, it's better the devil you know and all of that sort of stuff. And David Moyes has done so well for you. I agree. But they're also, everybody's got a limit.
But I think, yeah, I appreciate that there's a lot of frustration there. I hope that, did that feel good to get off your chest?
No, it didn't.
Right, okay.
It didn't feel good to get off my chest.
I think because he's still there.
I'm frustrated. Because it's like, we can all see it. And like, I understand why the fan base is split, but...
I think it's difficult.
We're not
good at the minute. It's very, very difficult because obviously you lost your captain in Declan Rice last season. That's a very big hole to kind of really fill. I can't believe that it's taken him game week 35 to bring up the fact that he misses Declan Rice. Because apparently after the game, he said something about...
Yeah, no, people were saying, like, what's changed? And they said, we sold one of the best midfielders in this country... And defensively, we have a massive gap. Are you really humming about whether he's one of the best defend midfielders in this country? Come on. Okay, sure. But the fact of the matter is...
With Rice.
Yeah.
Don't be shameless.
That's all right.
Look at the difference he's made to Arsenal.
Leave her to it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Come on.
If they've still finished second, has he made a difference? If they don't win the league?
But for me, I would say...
So go and take him from West Ham and to go and done what he's done this season at Arsenal.
£100 million.
No,
but look at the hole in the team is what I'm saying.
My argument to you for that Arsenal thing, and again, I don't particularly want to watch him lift a Premier League trophy this season, but it's like, yes, okay, he hasn't been...
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
The whole difference, but my thing is, they would be worse off without him this season.
Because
unfortunately the form, not unfortunately, I don't care, the form of other players in that team has dipped this season. So if they hadn't lost form and they had the same form that they had last season, it would have been, that's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm being a little bit too gratuitous to Declan Rice.
Gratuitous, jeez.
Sorry, big words.
Hey, come on.
But for me, I don't know. At the end of the day, the day's got to end. I'm over this season.
Yeah, I think this season, let's wrap this up. For me, obviously, for a Chelsea fan, it's very difficult because I don't want to be smug or anything, but it was great to kind of really see Chelsea create chances and finish chances.
Moyo sat here last week and said, things just have to click. And we've been saying it all season to you guys, to be fair.
Mm. Yeah. But I think for me, Poch decided to become a coach in the last 2.5 games. So
I think he's been coaching all this time. They just started to understand his ideas. Yeah.
No, he has changed the position of Cucurella, which has changed the kind of course of what this team is developing. Fair so enough. Cucurella is now an inverted forward.
Could he not have figured that out after me?
Everyone's taking inverted fullback and look at me playing Emerson Royale there. Everyone's copying our ideas. God's sake. Everyone wants to do inverted fullback now. We're like, oh, look, where's Guardiola? Playing like an inverted fullback as well. God's sake.
So, yeah, so I think that's really...
Oh, sorry, I breathed right down it. That was a sign on. I breathed right
down. Listen, Bree said no mouth breathers, yes, please.
You got two of the biggest mouth breathers sat next to the sat the coach.
Said so no story. Mouth breathers. No, but it's good to kind of see that he's finally tactically switched it up and actually is... But then again, like, the run after the Tottenham game was wild from Poch. Like, I feel like he's a dead man walking.
No, I felt it for him. Because he's... No.
Every week they're trying to sack the guy.
I'm here. You've given me, not an impossible job, but you've given me quite the task running around with these rugrats. Like, say, I'm a nursery manager or the head of a creche. I'm doing what I can. Allow me.
He had Chiwo as left winger at the beginning of the season.
I don't know. I ain't got all the answers.
I think, I still maintain that he lacks a lot of accountability. And although I do not think he is the problem at Chelsea, he was, for large parts of this season, parts of the problem. And it's only now that we're coming towards the end that we're seeing the potential and seeing it click from him and the team. Although I am impressed with what I've seen, it's so frustrating to know that this could have been done a lot earlier.
But the thing is, we just had the same conversation about Spurs, about managers in their first season and trying to translate ideas, and that can take time. I think, like you said, if you go and spend £1 billion on players, you've got literally got how many different players? And you're trying to find a system, but then one gets injured from the one game to the next. That injury list just is either really long, really short, different names on it. I think we have this expectation that every single manager that comes into a league is going to make a really like fast start, and all of their translations, like their ideas are going to be, and players are going to understand. And I think when you've naturally got young players in your squad, people who haven't played a lot of Premier League football, like, you are going to see ups and downs and inconsistencies
in the way that they play. I feel like there's a bag of players of yours that are like less than 2 years into the club, less than 2 years into the first team as well, trying to figure out who goes where, not upsetting people, trying to make sure that they've got, like, especially for a club like yours, this was always going to be like a buffer season. Next season, you're going to cook.
It's as if he's still there.
You really think he's going to go?
Pisses me off. Like, I actually think it would be a big mistake if the Chelsea hierarchy got rid of him now.
I wouldn't be
surprised. Because all you're going to have to do is start again, hit the reset button. Yes,
and you're like, are you not tired, Miss Hillier? Are you tired?
Listen, I was under Roman, and I'm here for the long haul. I understand what this... I know what it feels like to change managers. I think... I've said, if Chelsea somehow finish sixth, this league is washed. The season that we've
Can they finish sixth?
Yeah.
We're two points behind Newcastle. Right.
And Newcastle and Manchester United have to play each other.
Got it. Okay, I understand now.
If Chelsea somehow finish sixth...
And United also have Arsenal.
I dare United to allow this.
Man, so I'm going to have to come back and answer for it.
I dare United to finish below us.
That's why I keep saying, when that clip like came into the group, I did not laugh too hard because...
Let me look in the camera. Sagal, if Chelsea finish above Manchester United... On the last day, I better see you on this couch. Whether there is 5, 6, 7 of us, I better see you in the studio because you have to answer from some outrageous... There's been some outrageous takes, even from me, but that, my friend, was unforgivable.
Oh, yeah. Let the chopper fly. It's fine.
And Mariam as well. Your another
but
one.
Mariam never. Mariam doesn't cast Chelsea like that.
Mariam, Moyo, all of them. All of you Man United fans, come. The couch is there.
But the Man United fans have been checked out with their team and been calling their own team shit for how long?
Yeah.
Nah.
That's why it's like, for example, so for today, like, obviously, you never want to go to Stamford Bridge and get smashed. But, like, you can't hurt me. I'm already dead.
Mm. Yeah, you can't hate my team more than I possibly do right now. I
don't hate my team, but, like, if they don't care, why should I? Why should I care? We beat Chelsea once this season, one out of two. I'll take it. We move on. You cannot kill me.
It's interesting. But yeah, I feel you, man, because if Chelsea win, great. If they lose, okay. If they draw, okay. I have no expectations.
Like, you know that Tom and Jerry meme where he comes with the knife? And who's the mouse? Jerry. Jerry's just stood there and goes, and he's literally just unmoved by the fact that the knife is being poked in. I just feel like at this point of the season, if you have nothing left to, like, really left to play for, like, you're playing for fifth, sixth, seventh, or whatever it is, man, you're just mentally checked out. Like, it's just kind of like waiting for the season to end.
I would have liked...
Have a break.
I would have liked Europe again, but the players decided that they don't want to play in Europe next season. So if that's what you want to do, fine.
I can't lie. Boy, I'm so looking forward to those Thursdays.
Thursday nights under the lights.
What's the music?
Whoa. Look at me. Big tune.
Oh, actually, that's a question, though. If Chelsea, like, make it to Europa Conference and don't make it further up, how are you going to view that competition next season?
What competition?
Exactly. I just wanted to understand.
If we get to the final, listen, I'm going to be shameless.
No, but don't be shameless. Because you, man, were in it and then there was, you know, there was a COVID problems and UEFA
wouldn't let us.
You forfeited the game. And my argument was, I wish you hadn't forfeited the game. You could have even just played your kids. Because...
it's a European trophy, isn't
it? It's just, you know what I mean? It's just something.
Me, I'll be singing Champions of Europe with Chelsea.
As you should. Also want to give a shout out to Aston Villa. Ain't so easy, is it?
Hey, sorry. 4-2 at home. Are you crazy?
Against Olympiakos as well.
Unai Emery got outplayed.
Anyway, let's wrap this up because as much as I'm enjoying the depression on this couch, we've got to move it on.
Wrap it up.
So we're all kind of neutral in the title race.
I wouldn't describe myself as neutral.
I don't think...
Blue moon!
I don't think you two are neutral.
I would describe myself as neutral, I'll be honest.
I don't think you two are neutral
on that count.
At all.
I'm sitting over here. I said on that count.
Sit there! I ain't neutral,
it's
sorry.
Do you know what I find interesting about this title race? I think there is such a will from these commentators for Arsenal to win the league.
Yeah, because they want something different. And the
fuck different.
No. Okay, hear me out. Because, again, up until this season, I don't think there was any animosity between Arsenal and West Ham fans. Some Arsenal fans feel weird because Declan got booed when he came to London Stadium.
But that's
banter. And after the game finished, he clapped the fans and the fans clapped him back. Some West Ham fans think that Arsenal are too cocky because of Declan. I don't know, that there's this weird stuff with Declan. Me personally, someone who was our captain last season, I don't particularly want to... I wish him well, but I don't want to watch him win a trophy.
Why?
The same way I was upset
that Bayern Munich won't win that Bundesliga.
Do you know what? It's like, I wish you well, but like, it don't feel... You were literally an academy kid and you were our captain. It don't feel good to watch you do the pinnacle of this country somewhere else. So it is what it is. But then again, at the same time, if they win, I'm like, and then I'll move on. It's not going to bun me the same way it's going to bun everybody else here. Do you see what I'm saying?
What do you mean, bun? It'll be nice for them to know that they existed. They've existed after 20 years of irrelevancy.
No, me, like I said, I'm here for City. I'm hoping Man United would do something next weekend. They probably won't, because apparently even now Harry Maguire is injured. So I don't know what centre-backs they're going to play against.
Do you know
Arsenal.
What about Manchester United? They're so shit. They could actually do something. They're so shit. They could. I'm not saying that they will. I don't think they will. But it wouldn't surprise me. Because how is Liverpool, big Liverpool, coming to... They smacked you in that first half. But somehow you walked away with a point.
Yeah, so I mean, if United can summon something... And at least take a point. Then it means that, you know, it's not like, obviously we have to play City here and they may need victory.
I was with one of my Arsenal friends, right, over the last couple of nights, and he was saying to me that talking about the title race, he said it would be the most Spurs thing for you guys to be awful. And then somehow get points against City in order for Arsenal to win the league.
Honestly, if we turn up and put in our best performance after these results, there'll be some players I will never forgive. I'm sorry. I will go to that pitch and give City the carnival of myself. Listen, like, I've got nothing left to hold on to. I don't want to see Arsenal win that league. So, and genuinely, the way that we're playing, yeah, like I know a lot of like Arsenal fans have been like, oh, like, you know, Spurs are going to throw it. One, what the players are going to do and what the fans are going to do are two different things.
I keep saying
and
that.
Also, like, we're actually just crap defensively. So, like, I can't see how City, in crunch time, come to our stadium and throw those 3 points
they
away.
They do not have a good record at the Beyonce Stadium.
No, they don't. But then we also have to look at form. Mm-hmm. Because every time they've gone to the Beyonce, every time they've gone to the Beyonce Stadium,
it's not been in the running though. It's not been in the running,
but it's usually been at a good time for Spurs. Spurs have been in form.
There's something about that game that is, I'm petrified.
You know what?
I'm so scared.
Curses are meant to be broken. They broke it in the FA Cup. They got their first goal. They got their first victory. Long may it continue.
I'm so...
Well, not for long, sweetheart. Just
for 90 minutes or 100 minutes, however long it needs to be for City to get that result. Yeah.
Don't worry, they're about to get a cricket score against us beforehand. Or is it afterwards? Whatever way it is.
After, so. Aren't you the last game?
Yeah, we're the last. Yeah. We're fine. Woo!
I just... There's something about it that makes me real nervous. Real nervous.
Just visualise the split screen on the final day and hearing,
that's the only...
Foden! And then when they pan to the Emirates and they're on their phones and the news is filtering through, like, City have scored.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I personally have visions of City going to Beyonce Stadium and then scoring and all of your fans singing Shame About the Arsenal. Because even though you're losing,
shame about the Arsenal. Let me see. Yeah,
even that's a bop.
It actually is a bop. I'm really about to do it at home.
Shame about the Arsenal.
Hey, yeah. Do you know what it is? I feel like the commentators, everyone, kind of like all of like the football pundits, whenever they talk about Arsenal, they talk about how amazing, fantastic. Look at the team; they're so different from last year, when they talk about City, it's, oh, City are not the same.
Yeah, but again, weird, but City haven't lost in like how many games?
And I know what you mean that they want a new champion. Mm. However, I think that is a tad disrespectful to City, because I think City, if they do win the league, they would have deserved to win the league and they would have done it playing some fantastic football. But they're not going to get their flowers because they're not Arsenal.
What it is you've articulated it perfectly. One, it's not a new team. Two, again, we have to talk about the fact that Arsenal were in the wilderness for many, many years.
Long may it continue.
So the fact that they've come...
Send them back there.
Yeah.
The fact that they've come back and they're such a strong team.
You're right.
And, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, they're an entertaining team to watch. It gets people excited.
Is that with VAR or without VAR?
The thing about City, I'm not giving any of this life. The thing about City is that they've had some pragmatic teams, they've had some exciting teams, they've had, you know, record breakers. With this particular team now, there are many really good players in it, but I think they've had some spells where it's just been business. like dusting their hands off.
That's the sign of an elite,
a very well-oiled team.
But this so is just for get the job done.
So the fact of the matter is that they'll get their flowers for being efficient and being elite and being able to get the job done. But in terms of how that City team make you feel, and maybe not the three of us here, but much more neutral fans, I think it's different to how they people feel when they watch Arsenal.
I feel like if we look back and City win this league, we'll be like, oh, unprecedented. It was that one where they went because nobody went four in a row.
Mm.
In 20 years' time, if Arsenal don't win this league, are we going to go back and be like, oh, remember that season?
With but everything is all about the moment. I'm not disagreeing with you. Everything is about the moment. And I always say this because this is always arguments I have with people just about the Premier League in like general. And they're like, oh, but we finished above you and we did better than you. And I'm like, yeah, but at the end of the day, the history books are going to say, see this team and then everybody else. No one cares.
I think the talk and the commentary around the team is just quite disrespectful. I just think that they are not getting the same. It's like almost like, oh, City won again. Oh my gosh, Arsenal are amazing. Yeah, like they won.
Even the television schedule, they flipped it to make sure Arsenal play first to lump all of the pressure on City.
Think about pre-2012.
I've noticed that.
But think about pre-2012. Think about when, you know, Mancini was getting the squad together and, you know, it was those derbies with Manchester United and they were the noisy neighbours. Everyone was gunning for City because they were the plucky underdogs, you know. They've gone from Main Road to the Etihad. Like, there was a big thing about them
150
becoming
charges along the way. I don't see City in that same way. No. Like, oh, they did it authentically.
No, no one's saying that. But at the time, like I'm saying, you have to, everything is, hindsight is 20/20. You have to think about at the time, they really bigged up the blue side of Manchester and it was exciting. And then obviously, you know, it went to other hands and then it went to City again. And then it was, you know, City of the plucky challengers. Now we're bored. But like at the time, they're always going to be more favourable to the challenger, to the underdog.
I don't know, because I don't think the commentary around City Liverpool was like this. I think Arsenal are baby. Like, I remember Shai sitting on that couch when we were talking about the 11 and saying that Tottenham are babied. No, Arsenal are babied massively to the point they fought.
They always talk, they'll always lead with the young squad.
The young squad. They thought that, it's so much so that they thought they could go to big Bayern Munich and win a Champions League game with three of their key players injured just because they get gassed up by people in this country. No. I'm sorry. I think it's just I just think that we do not appreciate this City team, this City squad, and what they're doing enough. Yes, 115 charges, but the football that they play, the elite mentality. I'll never forget that season where people didn't think they were going to win. I can't remember how many in a row, and beat the record amount of games against. And in this country, we just treated it like, oh yeah, well, that was.
That's right. What we're doing now. Like,
it's crazy to me.
There is a lot. There is so much narrative that City aren't playing as well as they were last season or whatever it is. Going apart from the Real Madrid match. When was the last time Manchester City lost a game?
Again, it's like, I understand and I do agree with you. Like, there is this gloss over Arsenal and people are putting City to the wayside. But I think, again, it's about the manner of some of these games. Sometimes, I've got to be honest, sometimes I've watched City today and I've been like, it's boring. Sometimes.
It's boring, but winning is never boring. And I suppose it's one of the reasons why I'm like, maybe I'm a bit disrespectful to Declan Rice, but it's the fact that Rodri's been doing this, like, he's been performing at standards for years.
100%. Years.
Let me just finish. Declan Rice, I don't even think he has performed as well as Rodri's best season, but yet the way that the English media talk about this player who costs £100 million
English.
Pounds.
Yeah, he's English.
And it's for them, and also
I have to say it
because it's something, it's a bugbear of mine. 100%, Rodri is class. But the thing is, Declan is English, and also Declan's come from a team that nobody cares about to a sparkly team which the media are obsessed with, and so they're going to put heaps of praise on him. Declan's always been fantastic.
Like, I hold my hands up. If Arsenal win this league, let me touch something. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Yeah, please.
Gosh,
yeah.
Touch the mic, sorry.
But I Jenny, if Arsenal win the league, Declan Rice will be in team of the year.
Yeah.
Because he has contributed to, let me touch wood again, what would be, hypothetically, their league win. Like I said, I don't think he's near Rodri's level, but I don't think there's really a number six in Europe at the moment who is near Rodri's level. Like, it's not normal for one player to be like, oh, they're unbeaten record if they're playing in the team hasn't lost in like nearly 70 games. Like, that's wild.
I don't know,
like, to have that much impact as an individual player when you've got 10 outfield players around, like, it's crazy.
I think Odegaard has been just as good as Declan Rice.
Yeah.
And, you're not going to get an argument.
Odegaard should be in the team. Like,
you're not
going to
get an argument from us about that as well. Because for me, in terms of Arsenal, Odegaard is him. For Arsenal.
So yeah, I don't know. I it's just something that I've really noticed, and particularly with the controversy with Arsenal's win this weekend, with the penalty, with the goal that should have been.
One thing I have to say is that I sat on this couch when we were discussing the Saka one in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I called Saka didn't know how to buy that penalty. Kai Havertz used his experience to buy that. It wasn't a penalty. He left his foot in. He even dragged it along the floor so he would make the contact.
He was dragging his foot for at least 10 seconds.
Yeah, like, he could have lifted his foot up, but he knew how to buy that penalty. And like I don't think it was a penalty, but kudos to Havertz, because he was smart in the fact that if you're going to buy it, you need to buy it properly. Because I've seen Harry Kane do that many times over the year. If you're going to buy that penalty, but yeah, there's no one denying that VAR helped them out, because at the end of the day, Havertz created that contact. We can talk about the goalkeeper was there, but the goalkeeper is his job is to dive and try and block the ball. The disallowed goal was absolutely ridiculous. When I've seen what happens to Vicario on corners, and you're telling me that that was a foul on Raya?
But that's why I said...
That's madness.
But that's why I said...
That's absolute madness.
But that's why I said last week, on last week's episode, I think at least two of those, at least one of those Arsenal goals should have been disallowed.
Mm. Listen, you're not going to get an argument out of me. All I'm just going to say is
it's your favourite line today.
No, you ain't. Because I don't care. But all I can say is, think about the Leicester season. Like, obviously, not you guys, but the rest of us...
Are you going to compare Arsenal to Leicester?
No, wait a minute. I'm just going to say, the way that... we were gassed for Leicester because it was completely unprecedented. And clearly, the media think that Arsenal doing this is unprecedented, so they're gassing it up, sir.
Fuck Arsenal, man.
I don't think it's... Like...
They were there last season they should have won the league. Eight points clear, ten points clear.
With Wes Morgan and Danny Drinkwater... That was unprecedented.
But I'm saying every time there is a challenger that people do not expect, they're gasseting. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see. Moving swiftly on to the Champions League. Now, there are no English teams in the Champions League semi-finals this season.
Or the Europa. With just Aston Villa, actually, across the board.
And they're about to go out. So actually, for me, I think it's more entertaining when there aren't any English teams.
Yeah, it was really nice this week. I didn't have to hate watch.
It's exhausting.
I can actually just watch football.
Can't relate. Honestly,
I was like, God, I had no gender in this one.
But
let
you know
just
what?
Enjoy the game.
Like, both of those games were fantastic. Mm.
They really were. Yeah. They really were. And for me, it was just like, I understand the argument that the earlier stages of the Champions League were just a little bit dry. But when you get to the nitty gritty, you get to the actual, like, you know, real veterans of this game, the stars who are meant to be there. You cannot deny the quality. It was good.
It was quite interesting. So let's take a look at the Bayern Madrid game.
Mm.
I thought Bayern Munich should have gone away with a win.
Yeah, they should have.
They should have. But then again, that's just credit to how good Real Madrid are.
No, that was down to Kim Min-jae. And they'll be very, very happy that De Ligt was back. But
it's so funny because all I've been doing is being like, how is it that Dier gets played?
And Kim Min-jae's on the bench. We saw why.
Well, I saw why. Yeah. I saw why.
But yeah, like, to be fair, I think Madrid have they just won La Liga, but they only lost one game.
Yeah, they've got a never-say-die attitude, and you have to respect it.
especially when you don't really don't get, they don't have the ball. They didn't have the ball for large periods of the City game.
Mm.
Didn't have the ball for large periods of these games.
They're so
and
dangerous
yet
in
they
transition.
Still, mm. They still found a way. I mean, that center, what's his name? Kim Min Jae.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I feel like he had.
He was defending like he was drunk.
Yeah. Do you know, it's so interesting because obviously last season in Serie A, he had like a
yeah,
he
really,
was fantastic.
Really
yeah.
good season, which is why it was a shrewd bit of business.
Mm.
But clearly.
He looked out of place.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought I would. I never thought that Eric Dier would go there and be the most consistent centre back.
You were good. I can't lie.
And not, like, and I was yeah. literally, he was good. Yeah.
I was like, Eric.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Maybe a late charge into the Euro squad.
I was like, let me become a farmer as well. Maybe I can perform like him.
This is it. You just need to be at one with your nature. Yeah. And
he was, yeah, he was really good. How do we see the tie going? Who's going to reach the final in that?
So, I think
they're both European heritage.
Yeah,
but
you're going
to Bernabeu. Exactly. That's a tough old ground.
You're going to the Bernabeu with all the Madristas. It's mm-hmm. going to go off.
You think Madrid?
Yeah. I do. I think it's too big of a hill because, especially with the way that Bayern Munich have been playing in their own domestic league and their domestic cups as well, this is not the best season for them. If this was a better season for them, and like, let's say they'd had the Bundesliga wrapped up on all of this, I think they'd have the confidence to carry on. I think they went into that first leg thinking, okay, we can get a win here and we can give ourselves a good chance. But going into that second leg with only a draw, I think it's not as bad as if they were losing, but I don't know if they've got it to push it over the line because Real Madrid are inevitable at the minute.
Yeah, and I feel like, I think like Jude had a virus, so he wasn't at his best. And I just think going to the Bernabeu, like that's where he's got the vast majority of his goals. I think if Vinicius is on it, if Rodrigo is on it, if Toni Kroos is spraying passes, I always look at that Real Madrid side. If they need to get a goal, they will. And I look at Bayern and I'm thinking, I don't know how long you can barricade and keep Madrid out over what could be. I think it will go to extra time though.
So I'm going to go different and I'm going to go Bayern. I've seen Tuchel go to Madrid and do some crazy things with a Chelsea team that had no business even getting that close to knocking that team out. I think that he is, the argument is that he's a cup manager. And I just think looking at what he's doing with Dier, sometimes he can squeeze that extra juice out of a berry that you think there's no juice left.
So can Carlo Ancelotti, he can.
I respect it. I love them both. I love both those coaches. Both coaches, neither of them should have been sacked when they were by Chelsea. But because you guys went for Madrid, I'm going to go with Bayern Munich. So.
Listen, I wouldn't mind if Tommy Tuchel did because for me, I've said this to you before, Lauren, I've got a vendetta. I need Harry Kane to leave with Sutton. I don't think it will happen.
I won't cry. Like, I don't, if he wants to, listen, we sold him because he said he wanted to go play in the big trophies. If you go win the Champions League, there you go.
Yeah.
But I think it would be so interesting because I genuinely think this game would dictate who gets the Ballon d'Or.
Sorry, Brit.
Sorry. Anyway, it's going to be on time. What did that scare me?
Sorry. It's the trap remix as well.
Jeez, go on.
But I look and think, if England have a good Euro, is the Ballon d'Or, I think, could come from Kane or Bellingham. But it's going to be dependent on which one. The media...
Harry Kane has had a very good season.
Yeah.
But that's a very interesting question. Probably not for this episode because we've run out of time.
We're wrapping up.
But... who is going to win the Ballon d'Or is going to be quite interesting in this season.
Yeah, I think we should have that conversation like our last...
After the semi-finals, yeah. I think. Because then but I think it's at the moment, I think it's between three. I think it's Jude, Kane and Mbappe.
What's Mbappe done this season, though?
He's always in the conversation regardless.
He could get to the final.
He's always in
as well.
Okay. If France win the Euros...
That's what I mean. It's going to
For me, it's who wins the Euros rather than who wins
the
Champions League.
Well, if a player wins both,
it's game over.
So actually, let's talk about the PSG Dortmund game before Brie kills me for not cutting this episode off. That was that game.
Fire.
That was so entertaining.
Wow. That was fire.
I was so disappointed that Dortmund didn't leave with 2-0.
Mm. They could have done. The way they were playing, I think, word to Jadon Sancho, we can't talk about Dortmund without talking about his performance.
Egghead.
He was absolutely superb. I hope they can facilitate and negotiate so he can stay there, because I just feel like he clearly needs to play in an environment where he feels happy. Mm. That is not Manchester United.
Yep.
But it was good to see him shining on the stage. I think the problem with Dortmund is their away form is nowhere near as that yellow wall form. Mm. So I don't know if they've done enough, because Kylian Mbappe is someone that can win games on his own. And if he decides, I'm here, I'm taking my team to the Champions League final, they may not be able to stop him.
I just think that, first of all, Jamie Carragher going into the yellow wall, please, if you haven't watched the clip,
I thought it was funny.
It was so funny.
Why are so many people angry about?
I loved it.
It was great content.
Because the thing is, like, all of us would have been the same. I would have wanted to go into the yellow wall.
Yeah.
I would have been drunk going into the yellow wall.
I have plans next season.
Take me.
To go, sorry, Mini Moon. Plans.
Again, take me.
I have plans to go to a lot of these major European clubs and feel like I want to feel the atmosphere, because
not all of them come.
I said some. But like, why not? It's got nothing to do with his team.
Yeah.
Go, enjoy yourself. Miserable, man.
I thought it was great. And actually hearing him yesterday on comms, I was like, damn, man, we really get the miserable version of these pundits. Because I see what CBS are doing. Oh. I'm like, I'm always looking at their content, and I'm like, but then when they're back on Sky or BT or whoever it is,
I saw a TikTok of the caterer, and I was like, actually, if you see the food that they get at CBS, that's probably why.
And we've got Gary Neville, who's getting sued by the owner of Nottingham Forest. Man.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, wow, like, it felt like there was a refresh in the summer from Sky, and especially from TNT, to kind of rebrand to make themselves a little bit more fun and appeal to a younger audience. And I just don't feel like they've done... I just feel like we're watching the same, and we are seeing...
It's because it's
Carragher,
so...
Micah Richards. Like, they just look like they're having fun.
Yeah, because they allowed to be themselves on CBS, whereas I think on Sky, they have to be a version of themselves. And although Daniel Sturridge, I know that some people love him, I think he's a bit cringe, but...
He was dressed like a tramp today. Sorry, I had to...
What I will say on that, though, is...
Did you see him? Why was he dressed like that?
Take a look at your club's US correspondence, like, in terms of, like, their Twitter accounts or their Instagram accounts, because the West Ham United account on X versus the West Ham United USA account... Two totally different types of accounts, because the audience is different. Think about how angry people are about people like Soccer Saturday, and the fact that Simon from Blue Peter is now the host, and the fact that there's actually, you know, women and black people on it. Like, this country is so miserable. You can't have a laugh and a joke, because even when Micah and Roy go at it and they have a little bit of a giggle, there are people complaining.
No, you're right, because even people are like, it proves a point, because people are complaining about Jamie Carragher, and it wasn't even a broadcaster from this country.
This is why this country can't have nice things.
We cannot prosper.
But let's go back to the Champions League. Who do you reckon qualifies between, who goes to the final, PSG or Dortmund?
PSG.
I'm sad about it, though. I'd like it to be Dortmund.
I need the narrative. I actually really like to see what that fight, like, I want to see the narrative of the final of it being about Mbappe, like, are you, because you're going to Madrid, that would just be hilarious.
I think I'm gonna have to agree with you. I can't go different. I think if Dortmund came away with a 2-0 win, then potentially, but I think it's going to be very, very tough over in Paris, because I think Mbappe is going to turn it on. So I'm going a Bayern Munich and PSG final, which would be interesting with Tuchel. Tuchel, obviously, that's the same final he had.
I'll support Harry, but
it was the same final in 2020, and Tuchel lost to Bayern Munich. And so it would be quite funny with Bayern Munich getting rid of Tuchel, him actually winning the big ears.
They might have to ask him to stay.
He's already said, listen, you...
They will have to ask again.
He said, you want me to go? You couldn't find somebody? Good luck in your search.
Add some Muslim rose, because the alternatives, they may have to ask him to stay.
Hey. Some of us will get... This is a family show.
This is a podcast that both broadcasts. Our faces are attached to it. Our names are attached to it.
There's a lot of things I would do
and
to
personal
bring.
Details.
Personal details. You know what I mean?
I love Thomas Tuchel. I really want him back. So, given just lastly, who do you reckon then, looking at the two teams that you said would win, wins the Champions League overall? Quick fire.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, I can't go against Real Madrid in the final.
I'm going to go Bayern Munich, but we'll see, because I don't think Madrid are going to get to the final. But thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. As usual, please follow us on social media at Gold Diggers UK, at LinkedIn, on Twitter,
TikTok,
thank you, and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Make sure that you're following our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like, all of those are really good things. It's been a great episode with you girls, and yeah, we'll see you next time. See you later.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.